Hey guys, today we are very honored and really pleased because we have the founder of China SEO Ranking Award, as well as also the CEO of Net Concepts China. His name is Alan Xi, and maybe just say hello to all our 35,000 community listeners.
Hello everyone, it's an honor to have the time with you today.
This is really excellent. So I was looking at your LinkedIn profile, mm-hmm. and of course I've heard about Net Concepts before. It's one of the most distinguished and great companies in the world of SEO and marketing and more. So I saw on your LinkedIn that you founded the Net Concepts China, and you're also a distinguished professor at the online marketing master degree at Beihang University, and author of this great inbound marketing and SEO, and patent owners of SEO big data management and search engine barometer, special advisor at Baidu College, and also chairman at the Global Cross-Border E-Commerce Association. Of course, you founded China SEO Ranking Award, which I'm really privileged to attend yesterday.
Thank you for coming.
I'm so surprised by the huge turnout, and most of your content are so relevant to the world of marketing, SEO, and content marketing, so on and so forth. So maybe I would just start off by asking you, could you share more details about this event that happened yesterday, and when it happened, what went through in your mind, and what kind of value would you like to provide to your audience?
Mm-hmm. Actually, we started this event 9 years ago. I mean, at that time, because lots of companies, they don't know how to do SEO properly, or they don't even understand SEO at all. So that's why we started this industry conference, I mean, back to 9 years ago, to tell people, I mean, what's happening in the industry, and what's the good examples, and we give awards to the best ranking companies in different sectors. So that's how we started. During the last 9 years, it's also evolved. So we start from SEO ranking awards, then we went to mobile marketing content related back to 5 years ago. Then we just upgraded to more content marketing 3 years ago and smart marketing. And this year, we even changed the name from SEO ranking award to marketing awards, marketing ranking awards. And the content has also upgraded from only SEO to social, to content, to now about the whole marketing world. So that's what we do for the last 9 years. Now we still have the main event in Beijing by the end of the year. Then have the secondary, which is Shenzhen and Shanghai.
So that's another great event to look forward to in Beijing. And of course, we know that you have so many people from around the world who attend this conference, not just locals in China. Mm-hmm. So yesterday in Shenzhen, I saw that you have so many diversified audience and also speakers from the likes of LinkedIn as well who were there. Yes. So maybe you can tell us more, who is your target audience for these events, and what is the main purpose, in your opinion, of these marketing ranking awards?
Mm-hmm. As our audience are mostly brands, the companies, brands who want to do better marketing. So that's our main target, plus partners. So we all have partners in the industry. So we want to take this opportunity to share our ideas, to exchange ideas with industry partners as well. And also media, like you mentioned, I mean, yesterday we have LinkedIn, but also we usually have Baidu, Google, those kinds of media companies. They also get involved.
So how do you see the number of guest speakers and also visitors compared to previous editions? Because I understand yesterday was your 9th edition already.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Actually, every year we're getting bigger and bigger. Because, for example, Beijing this year, we have 1,500 people registered and about 1,200 people attended our Beijing event. For Shenzhen, yesterday we have about 500 people registered and about 350 people attended. Last year, we have about 200 people. So actually, we're getting bigger and bigger every year. But yesterday, we did half-day event in Shenzhen. We always have one-day event in Beijing. But next year, we're thinking about upgrading, from half-day event to one-day event in Shenzhen.
That's awesome. And the best speakers are here, and I think we'll be there in Beijing as well. And do you have a rigorous process in terms of hand-picking speakers, and also do they have to go through like a rigorous selection process? Can you tell us or walk us through?
Yep. For our speakers, usually they come from two sides. I mean, one side is the company, the senior management, usually marketing VP or CEO of a company. And those company must be the company who did well this year in their field, especially for marketing. So that's how we select speakers from brand side. On the other side, we we select the opinion leaders in the industry. So usually they're coming from other agencies or someone who are pure opinion leaders in the marketing field. So each year we select different kind of speakers who did well this year in the industry.
That's really awesome. So many representatives from enterprises, even from small and medium businesses were in attendance yesterday, and we see a very diversified audience as well. So the best conference I've attended are those where I learn a lot, and like I'm able to ask a lot of questions as well, and get even free consultation advice, you know. So do you think it is true that people who are going to come for your next Beijing conference as well, will they get their money's worth at this conference?
I think so. Because we really spend time, and we're not a professional organizer, because we were not a conference organizer, but we did invest lots of time and money for events every year. So it took us almost 3 months to prepare everything, from details to speaker preparation to the actual venue preparation. So we did spend time and money for that. So, and also plus, the content, we really censor very carefully. Yeah, so to that, make sure we bring the value to the audience. To the
That's attendees. Fantastic. And I experienced firsthand when I attended yesterday in Shenzhen. So what's, in opinion, do you expect from your future events? And also for the related industries, of course, we're talking about marketing, SEO, content marketing, social media, in the future?
I think for next year, well, I can foresee we definitely will be talking more about 5G, the 5G and the marketing connection. This year we touched a little bit because 5G is only started, right? But next year would be the real year for starting of 5G. So we hope to discuss what the changes 5G can bring us to the industry next year.
That is really exciting because 5G is on everybody's lips nowadays, and it's definitely a crowd puller content and topic. And do you think, besides that, what's going to be the highlight of your next conference in Beijing for those of us who are CMOs and senior marketing leaders and would love to attend your next Beijing conference?
Yeah, I think next year would also be the end of 2020. So we'll analyze or we look back what's the best examples or best case studies and practice happening in 2020. And we all learn from each other, and we will find out. We also give the awards to top performing brands. So we'll bring the similar content to the conference next year. To just look back to the year and analyze the topics.
That's great. So in the world of marketing, especially conferences and industries, like a person that we bump into, you know, that we meet for the first time at a conference, we'll probably maybe become a leader or even someone very influential 2 years, 5 years down the road. So is it important that you tell your attendees as well as our community listeners that you appreciate all of them and you don't just look for big names necessarily, but you actually appreciate how much information or knowledge that everyone has, and you will include everybody as well. And it's not just a Chinese audience, but you welcome everyone around the world to come here and leave satisfied and get to learn and then get to network with people in China as well. Do you think you could tell our audience that you will welcome them to attend next time?
Yeah, of course, of course. Especially for our Shenzhen events. For Shenzhen events, because we have two parts of content. One part is for domestic market, and second part is for cross-border. So that's very special for Shenzhen or Guangdong province.
Awesome.
That's why our Shenzhen conference usually have friends coming from everywhere, from US, from Russia, from Europe. Because Shenzhen has lots of cross-border businesses, so we want more audience from everywhere come to here that to change ideas about how to do business across countries.
That's really awesome. Like I come from Singapore.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So hopefully, I'll bring next time more of our peers, you know, and people in the industry from Singapore to come for your next event as well.
That'd be great. Thank you.
So can you maybe tell us your impression of Singapore? What do you know about us, and especially in marketing as well? How much do you know about us in this part of the world?
I love Singapore. I told a lot of my friends, I think Singapore is definitely one of my top three picks in cities around the world. So Singapore is a great city, and also you are the hub, right, of a lot of international trade. And also, China, and many more brands, they want to get the brands spread out to the world in the future, right?
Yeah.
So Singapore could be an exchanging point.
Yes.
And so personally, I do like Singapore, and also I think we're looking forward to do more business with Singapore companies, our friends.
Thank you for liking us, and I think you flatter us, and we would definitely love to, you know, also reach out to you, and of course attend all these great events that you have. Yeah. How would you like to develop or build on further this event and conference in the future?
Mm-hmm. I think this conference, because our core business and the concepts, we provide marketing solutions, technology. The conference is not really part of our business, but we did that for the last 9 years. We get value from that, because we think by doing this conference, we connect friends, brands, companies together. So that's the best value out of that. So in the future, we want to do the same as well. We want to provide good content through this conference, then people would love to come to get something out of it and can meet other people. So that's always our goal. So in the future, we'll continue providing good content, bring good people, then they can exchange ideas.
That's amazing value, and definitely a lot of value bombs that are dropped during all these events that you organize. Maybe we'll move on now to the next segment of our questions, where we maybe touch on digital trends, branding, yeah, sure, marketing strategy, social media, content marketing, which we know Net Concepts is heavily involved in this and helping businesses and brands. Mm-hmm. So maybe tell us, what is marketing now for your brand, like Net Concepts, for mm-hmm. example, compared to earlier when you first started 12 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think now for the China marketing world is quite different from 12 years ago. At that time, search is a dominant player, right? Baidu is almost everything. So if you want to do marketing, mostly equals to do Baidu marketing, which is SEO and paid search. But now the Chinese marketing world is totally different, right? Search is still important, yeah, but like the short video, the mini video, like Douyin, Kuaishou, they took majority of people's time. And also like the e-commerce platform, like Tmall, JD, they're very strong. They became the number one picks for shopping, especially for shopping search and for buying things. And also plus social media, right? Like WeChat is everywhere, and it's become the platform as well, right? And like Weibo and other vertical, social media platforms are also, very important for brands. And also plus the data behind that. So all the marketing channels nowadays, you require data, right? And yeah, also you need lots of automation tools to analyze the data, to manage your groups, etc. Yeah. So now we say, if you want to do marketing channel, in the past 12 years ago, maybe you need to do 10 things right, but now you need to do 100 things right.
Which is where they need to rely on a more trusty partner like you guys, where mm-hmm. you can help them really reach out and also communicate better and get their message out, right?
Mm, yeah, exactly.
So maybe let's chat about the ways that you increase the visibility of your brand, Net Concepts, now. And of course, you have all these great conference events and activities. So you can do this without, like in the past where people need to pay millions for paid ads, right? Mm-hmm. We also believe that advertisements have a time and place in marketing strategies. So could you share other ways to get more eyeballs on your brand and also your conference events?
Mm-hmm. You mean for our own brands? Oh yeah. I mean for us, because we only focus on top clients. For each industry, we only work with the top companies and top brands. So for us, actually, to get our brands exposed is through content. Like the conference is one part, one example of the content.
Yeah.
So we provide good content, valuable content to clients who want to do marketing better. Of course, this content is based on our knowledge, our industry expertise. We provide this content, then we build the trust with the clients. When they need something, they will come to us. So that's our major strategy. And also, we did lots of experimental things with our own brand as well. Like 3 years ago, we developed our cartoon. We called Little N, Xiao N. Right? We use this cartoon, throughout all our promotion materials, to enhance the image of our company. And we even did a real robot, 2 years ago. We call it some smart marketing robot. And we use this robot throughout lots of our business event. And also in the future, we want to put that real robot in client's office. The robot can interact with the clients face to face. So that's something we want to do in the future.
That's really awesome. Like the robot, I personally love it because nobody in the world rejects cuteness, right? And of course, innovative And also, it's not just an icon, but it actually has a practical purpose, which allows you to interact with it. So, and you also talked about WeChat and social media platform. In fact, how I found out about your conference was because of your great content and community marketing team. You put out so many great content on WeChat as well, where I'm quite active in it. And then I saw you guys putting out the snippets of your event and also the build-up and the hype to the countdown of the great event, and in the end, I'm telling myself I have to attend this event.
Thank you.
So, how do you create content for your platforms like WeChat, even LinkedIn or Facebook or even Douyin, which the rest of the world are calling them TikTok? How do you use all these platforms and even things like podcasts, for example, for marketing your your brand concepts, your services and your products, and of course for marketing your conferences.
Yeah, I mean, we do have the marketing team and the content team and design team to keep updating our marketing channels, like WeChat public account, like you mentioned, and also we maintain a few very active WeChat groups. I mean, for example, we have course digital marketing VIP group, and every year we have the conference ranking award group. So we maintain about 10 to 20 very quality high groups, I mean, with a special team. So those team members, they will, I mean, publish good quality content into these groups and talk to members, I mean, regularly.
That's a brilliant answer. And of course, we're going to be maybe chatting about your social media strategy as well, specifically, your strategies on social media, what to post to connect with audiences, and of course you have teams that run that for you and also for your customers. Do you think, in your opinion, what are the types of things that you should post and how much should you share things like your personal life, for example? So I'm intrigued about reading about you on LinkedIn, for example. Because sometimes the content that are available online allow us to know about the person we are meeting even before we have met them, for the first time in our lives. So, in your opinion, how much should you post about your personal stuff?
Personally, I don't post. I keep updating my own WeChat moments, but I don't really post a lot of personal life on my WeChat moments. Mostly about conference that I attend. I mean, our team building, etc. Yeah. But that's the reality as well, because most of my personal life are related to my business life. But personally, I don't post that. But I do post on Dalong Dianping about the food and the restaurant and the hotel I went to. But I don't post that on WeChat Moments. Right. So that's also lots of people do. For example, lots of girls, they don't post the cosmetics they bought on WeChat, but they post on Xiaohongshu. So for me, it's I post the food and restaurant on Dalong Dianping. So that's what I do.
So for those of us who love great food and finding great culinary, all these great dining places in Shenzhen, we should follow your account,
Can't follow my Dianping account.
So your content marketing for Net Concepts, I think it's second to none. And what questions you ask yourself, or even when your marketing team, when they're creating and editing content, how do you keep on improving on that standard? Maybe you can share some tips with the rest of us.
I think it's, first of all, I mean, we need to really spend time on that. We really need to read a lot, and also we talk to our own consulting team to make sure, I mean, everything the marketing team posts are the top in the industry.
Yes.
And also we keep updating the formats. For example, in the past, it's mostly text. Then we start to add more image, more cartoon, add more 3D, and more video, especially for mini video. That's something we start to do more and more since last year.
Which is, personally, I love your cartoons and also your videos. I think those are entertaining. Mm-hmm. It's a newer way to learn about latest updates in marketing, technology, and of course, all the different trends. And from your videos and your cartoons, I actually learn a lot. So this is something that I think you guys really do it really brilliantly in. And of course, there are also like stories of failure. Yeah, like we know entrepreneurs, they go through ups and downs, for example.
Yeah.
So stories of failure are quite important as well. And are you open about, these kind of stories? And of course, every audience, right? They love a compelling comeback story.
Mm-hmm.
So not every single post on social media is like a push to sell things, right? Mm-hmm. So what is your take on that?
Mm-hmm. I think the failure is we saw so many failures in the web industry in China, right? So yeah. many companies failed for the last 10 years. I mean, only the top ones survived, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, for us, I mean, we also have some challenges during the last 11-12 years of our own, I mean, company life. Especially sometimes when, for example, in 3-4 years ago, we have lots of P2P clients in China. So suddenly they came out, I mean, from nowhere, and lots of them, or most of them, have billions, millions to spend as big venture capital backed up. But after, I mean, a year or two, majority of them dead, or 99% of them dead. So then we need to select other clients, I mean, to fulfill this whole, I mean, they left for us. So, I mean, this is all the challenges we faced in the past. But luckily, we also changed with the market. So we didn't die with those clients. Yeah. And back to, for example, 10 years ago, China has so many group buying sites.
Yeah.
So we had so many of them. But after they died, we changed to other industries. So, I mean, so that's all the challenges we had.
That's fantastic, because you shared about how to nail the B2B market segment, which is your biggest strength for NetConcepts. What has been your best converting lead generator? Is there anything that has worked best for you in terms of B2B so far?
For us, I mean, the best lead generation is through conferences, actually. Of course, we hold this conference ourselves once a year in Beijing, Shanghai, and Shenzhen, but we also attend many conferences. I mean, personal, like myself, I do speak at conferences at least, 30, 50 times per year. And I mean, but we don't sell company. We just sell the content. We just, try to share our knowledge with the industry. I think that works the best. Yeah, because when we share something to the industry, people will believe you, will trust you, and they will always come back with, when they have the requirements for service, they will come back. So I think that's the single most important lead generation channel for us.
That's really awesome.
Thank you.
Next, we will move on to your personal story, your career journey, and of course, some industry and entrepreneurial questions, which I think you're in the best position to answer.
Thank you.
Let's start with maybe asking you, how would both your parents describe what you do for a living?
Well, I mean, my parents, they didn't believe me in the beginning when I want to do my own business. They thought I'm not this kind of person back to 11 years ago. Yeah, but now they think I'm okay.
No, they must be really proud of you, right? Your achievements and your milestones.
Yeah, yeah, no, they're kind of proud, yeah.
That's really interesting to hear. Let's get deeper into where you grew up. I believe you are from the Shandong province.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So maybe tell us about your childhood, your earliest memory. I want to ask about your entrepreneurial mindset that maybe started when you were a kid as well. Like, I know that some entrepreneurs, they started out making lemonade and selling them at their makeshift lemonade stand, right? Was that how you started to become your own boss? Or do you have somebody else, like a mentor, who played a really huge part in your mindset shift into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I mean, I was born in Jinan City, the capital city of Shandong province. My parents are all photographers. So actually, as a child, I mean, I think since my 3 or 4 years old, and they started to teach me photography. I mean, and also I won lots of awards, international awards even at that time. By the help of them. Actually, they always want me to pursue that way. As a kid, I didn't against that. I think that's okay, right? But as I growing up, actually, I start to like more and more computers.
Yes.
At that time, Bill Gates, I mean, he's the idol, right? So yeah. I start to, I mean, spend lots of time with computer, of course, gaming and a little bit of programming, I mean, since primary school. And then I took the opportunity to go to Japan for high school. So I stayed in Jinan until my year 12, I think. Then I go to, I mean, Japan for 3 years for high school.
Oh, in Japan, Tokyo?
Not Tokyo, Yamaguchi-ken.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
So I spent 3 years there. So, I mean, Japan is a good country, but I don't think it's, for me at least, it's not a good country for staying forever.
So do you speak Japanese?
I did.
Wow.
But that was 20 years ago. Now I forgot 99% of that. So after high school, I thought, I mean, I still like to go to some Western countries.
Yes.
At that time, I mean, Australia and New Zealand are easier to get a visa. Then I applied for the New Zealand visa, which is even easier. So then I went to New Zealand to attend my university. At that time, I started to think about which major I should pick.
Yes.
The first one out of my mind was computer science or engineering. But then I thought, I don't want to sit in front of the computer forever for programming. That's not really something I really like. Then I looked at the time, University of Auckland, they developed a new course, which is combining IT and marketing, because they want to prepare some people ready for the internet world. So that was back to 2002. Then I thought that could be my perfect pick for majors. Then awesome. I took that course. So during that 3 years university time, so we had half a computer course, half marketing and the economic kind of, I mean, also we learned lots of e-commerce, ERP, et cetera, during that university life. So after that, find a job about the e-commerce management and online marketing. So that's how I get into the industry. During 2008, actually, I didn't want to come back to China yet. At that time, I was doing my having my job and also doing my master's degree part-time. Right. So I want to finish my master first and then maybe go to US or somewhere for a few years, then thinking about coming back to China. But there was a conference, actually, in 2008. So during my holiday back to China, it's about search marketing. Then I thought I should attend that to just learn a little bit about China. But I left China already 10 years at that time, back to 2008. But at the time, China internet world is just starting. It's really short of talents, especially international, I mean, industry expert at that time. So the organizer of the conference, they saw me registered. So they asked me to do a speech there. Right. And that was my first public speech.
Wow.
Then I accepted a job. I did my first speech in China. That's also a 1,000 people conference.
Did you document that moment? Like, was it a video where we can, you know, replay that on YouTube?
Well, I don't know. I don't think the video at the time, but maybe some photos. But just because of the speech, so I just knew lots of friends and people at that during that conference. So they really changed my idea about China. Because at the time, China's internet is much slower than the US, than even Australia and New Zealand. Yeah, but the people, they're very active. They're young, they want to do so many great things at the time. So they really touched me. Then I went back to New Zealand and started to think about, shall I go back to China or not? Yeah. And that time, my friend like Charles, he inspired me. And he said, if I'm you, I will go back. Yeah, so I think that's right. Then, by the time I have no business knowledge or experience in China at all or everywhere, but I think that's maybe a one lifetime chance. So then, I think about a couple of months.
Yes.
Then decided to come back to China. That was October 2008.
And that we always say the rest is history, because when once you're back in China, you build this awesome company, NetConcepts China. Yeah. And of course, you connected your pastime and hobbies like photography when you were a kid, and also how attending conferences in America really inspired you to be an entrepreneur yourself. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned about meeting Charles, which is who is a great person that I met at the post conference party yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
So he inspired you to also do this for yourself and to give back to society by building a great company and employing lots of people. So. Do you think your first job affect your career and your business in the long run?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. After graduate, my first job was to run an e-commerce store. But at that time, e-commerce just started. So the company boss, he was doing IT infrastructure business, and he wanted to run an e-commerce store for electronics. And that was my hobby as well.
Wow.
So I still remember I talked to him for three of plus hours during my interview, because we share lots of ideas how to do e-commerce. He never done that before, and he believed in me. So he really gave me an opportunity to run an e-commerce store from scratch. I started to build the technology infrastructure for the e-commerce store, to run marketing, even to run customer service. So that was a great opportunity for me as a graduate. So that got me into the real internet world, and also to do marketing myself, to do operations. So that's how I started. So I still thanks to that boss and that opportunity.
That's amazing, because your story really inspires, probably inspires some of our listeners who want to venture and do their own thing in the future to get started on this entrepreneurial path as well. So do you agree that someone who is maybe a newbie, like a digital marketer, who maybe are just starting out and they want to get down and dirty, like doing a lot of, you know, content creation, or they want to maybe find interns for their own startups, for example, or they want to contract or do more gigs in marketing, do more freelancing, things like that, to find a connection to the marketing world. And do you think this is an essential part of the development to become an entrepreneur? Do you encourage it for your own employees as well?
Well, I think if it's a newbie, I mean, I think it's better for them to go to a proper company first to get some real knowledge and experience. And also, because as a sometimes as a freelancer, I mean, it's very difficult to get deep into big brands or to work very close with big brands. But if you go to a decent company, you have even as a newbie, you have the opportunity to work with real brands, real, I mean, to say the real marketing dollar. I think that experience would be the very important, would be the key. But after that, when they have a few years experiences, they saw what happened in the real world, and then if they want to do their own company, and I do encourage, especially if they can start with some industry they are familiar with, right? So in China, at least now, I don't think it's easy to do a very big marketing firm. But if you focus on some industry, if I want to build the best marketing firm for education industry, I think that's kind of possible. Yeah, if you can start with some vertical industries or even niche industries, so that would be a higher success rate.
That's fantastic advice. And of course, we know that mistakes are part of the entrepreneurial journey. So do you feel that you learn most of what you know now from your mistakes in the past?
I think I learned a lot myself. I mean, sometimes I took part in some TV shows for entrepreneurship, and also some people come to me for advice about entrepreneur to start their own company. I think my advice was always, if you want to make money, you don't do your own business.
Yeah.
If you really want to make money and working for someone else, just to find a good job, that's would be easier, right? Starting a company, it's not really for making money, but it's for fulfill your dreams, to build something belongs to you. I think that's the main purpose. And also you have to be super passionate about this, right? Because that's once you start your own company, work is becomes your life, right? Yes. You can never separate life and work, right?
That's brilliant advice. And if you could change one thing about your company NetConcepts, what would it be?
If I would change one thing, if I look back the last 12 years, what we did wrong, luckily we did most things okay. But I think one thing we didn't do that well is to increase the efficiency of internal operations. I still believe we could use less people to do more things, or we use same people to do more work. Yeah, so the internal efficiency, I think that's something we need to improve.
That's really great. And in your business career, what have been the riskiest move that you have taken, and did it pay off?
The riskiest moment.
Yeah, the riskiest.
Riskiest. I think that was at year three of the company. Actually, year one is okay because I know nothing about how to operate a business, just the passion, right? So we work day and night, so that was okay because it's a small team. And as long as we have some business, we can survive. But at year three, especially during the Chinese New Year period, because we start to have more staff, right? We start to have, at that time, 50 staff at year three, and also we move to a bigger office. And then that's a real challenge, because we increase the staff, the office, so the cost is increased more than the revenue. Yeah. And also during Chinese New Year, in China, the clients, they pay you later.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't pay you before Chinese New Year. They will delay the payment maybe a month after Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
But you need to pay bonus to your employee. You can't pay them after Chinese New Year. In China, you have to pay the bonus before Chinese New Year, right?
Yeah.
So at that time, the cost increased dramatically, but the revenue is paused for a couple months.
Wow.
So that was the most challenging moment. Mm. But luckily, we worked that through. But if we didn't, the company may die at year three.
That's a great story. And do you have the luxury of going back to your corporate life if your entrepreneurial journey and ventures ends in failure? I'm talking about when you first started, when you were struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. I always think I would be a good professional worker as well. Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you also agree that those entrepreneurs, especially, right, they, if they have no safety net or, you know, they don't have a plan B, for example, like they have to make this work, yeah? These are the people who also make it and be successful?
I think no one has plan B. I think everyone who can, who really can do a good job at their company, I think it's always only plan A, because they have to make it work. Yeah. Sometimes if there's a plan B, I mean, when you have a choice, I mean, usually you wouldn't put all your energy into this thing, right? If you don't put all your energy into it, usually it means failure, right? So I mean, for us, it's only plan A. I think for most entrepreneurs, I think that it's only one way to go.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned about some of the risky moments when you have to make payroll and pay bonuses during Chinese New Year, during year three. So my next question is, how do you come back from a crisis?
I think first of all is you believe in it, right? You won't quit. And I think that's most important single factor. If you believe in it, you'll put all your energy and all your resources and everything you could into it, then you may solve the problem. But if you don't believe it, so you will hold back and you won't put all your resources and energy into it. So mostly it may go fail, right? So I think the belief is first. Secondly, is hardworking. I think it's always hard work. You can never stop, right? Doesn't matter how big or how small your company is. As until the last day of your company, you cannot, work less. And that's the hard work is always there. Yeah.
So this work ethic, working hard, and really be at the top of the game, right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell maybe our community listeners, how do you stay on top of your game? Do you have athletic pursuit, like sports, or you indulge in, art or music or media? What kind of things do you do to stay creative and on top of your game?
Well, I do sports regularly. Yeah, I do go to gym every 2 or 3 times per week, and I do boxing. I mean, once or twice per week. So I mean, keep doing sports. I think it's important. And also, I like to enjoy the small surprise out of our life. For example, if you go to my office, sometime next year in Beijing. So I do have a big Iron Man, Spider-Man in my office. The person big one, and also. I do collect lots of, swords, and to collect lots of, cartoon figures and car models, etc. Yeah.
Swords like those that you can use for fights.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's amazing.
And bones.
We'd love to check out your collection.
Yeah, please.
So maybe tell us how would you like to be remembered in your business legacy?
Mm-hmm. I think I like to do some contribution to the industry. If I can, that's why in the last the past 10 years, saw on my profile, actually I was involved in the create the first online marketing master degree in China. That was the very first in the industry. Actually, that's not a paid job, but I spent my lot of time in it, and I enjoyed it. The reason is because we took that opportunity to teach master graduates, to teach people how to do marketing properly. So that's good for the industry. And also that's the reason why we having this conference for the last 9 years. I mean, it's one a good chance to talk to the industry, but also it's our contribution to the industry because we want to bring the right voice. We want to train the right people. I think for online marketing industry, at least that's the industry I'm in, I want to make some contribution to it. At least after, 20 or 30 years, when we look back online marketing industry in China, we made it right, more or less, to help industry to do the right things.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned about your achievement and some milestones. Tell us what do you think are the things that you haven't done yet?
Mm-hmm. I think too many things we haven't done yet. I think in the past, we really want to help companies. In the last 12 years, we helped a company to solve their marketing problems, their traffic problems, their user acquisition problems. But in the next 10 years, we want to help companies to solve deeper problems, or to help them to improve their supply chain, for example, to use 5G, how to help them to grow faster, and how to connect the marketing to their production, and how to help them to be smarter operations. So that we want to do in the future.
That's fantastic. So maybe tell us what were the challenges that you face when you first started out the company, and what are the current challenges that you are facing today? Mm-hmm. It's a three-part question. The third part is also, I'm going to ask you to talk about how do you find the rise of new modern entrepreneurs, especially mm-hmm. in your industry?
Uh-huh. Yep. As in the beginning, the challenge, the biggest challenge is we couldn't find the talent. But at that time, the university, they didn't have the online marketing related degree. They only have computer science. Right? We couldn't find the people from university. And also industry was very young. We couldn't find the right people from other companies, from competitors. So we have to train people ourselves from ground. So that was the biggest challenge. Now it's better because the industry has been running for the last 10 plus years. I mean, we have trained our own staff as well. We have the university program as well. So now talent is better, but it's how to improve the efficiency. I mean, now we have more people. Now we have, more clients. I mean, the efficiency is very important. That means the profitability. And as a company, make profit, of course, that's very important, goal. So now that's our challenge, is to improve the profitability and the efficiency.
That's fantastic. So we have only 10 minutes left. Okay. So let's end the podcast interview with our last segment called the speed round. So it's a bunch of quick fire questions. Try not to overthink your answers. So are you ready?
Okay.
Your favorite CEO ever?
I'll say Steve Jobs. Everyone loves him.
Best boss you ever worked for?
Best boss? The boss from Lee Barstone. Yeah.
Awesome. Best agency you ever worked with?
Best agency? That's concept.
Awesome. What is your biggest passion?
His passion is to be the master of online marketing.
Awesome. Can you remember the first brand or campaign that had an impact on you when you were a kid?
I think that would be Michael Jordan.
Nike,
right? Yeah.
Shandong, Beijing, Shenzhen, or New Zealand?
The best place. Now I love Shenzhen.
And reason for that?
Well, I think Shenzhen is a great city. I have good weather, good business, good people. Of course, I never lived here. Long. But Beijing now has become my base and my hometown. Yeah. But if I have to pick a city for the future, I think Shenzhen would be the best.
So you could have a dinner with three persons, dead or alive. Who would it be and why?
Three persons. Before my diet.
Either they are alive or when they are, or someone who is already dead, but we would love to have a chance to have dinner with them. Who would it be and why?
Well, I think it would be my parents.
Yeah.
I think to share more time with them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. And of course, cardio or weights or yoga, which is your preferred sport?
Yoga is okay, yeah.
Yeah. Cola or lemonade?
Lemonade.
Awesome. It's been wonderful and really learned a lot. And we gave our community so much insight from learning from your own entrepreneurial journey. And of course, learn more about your great companies, NetConcepts. Okay. And of course, tell us about this upcoming Beijing conference so that we can all buy tickets and attend. Maybe tell us the date, the venue, and what can our listeners expect when we attend this upcoming conference?
Yep. This year, we had our conference is 28th of November. So next year, it will be the end of November as well. So the venue this year, we were using the Intercontinental Sanlitun Beijing. So next year, we probably use the same venue because it's in the heart of the Sanlitun, so it's quite convenient and easier to go to bars after conference as well. So probably we will still doing there next year.
Awesome. So we can, of course, find out more by logging on to the website. Your website address?
It's www.netconcept.cn.
Awesome. So we'll end our podcast recording here, and it's a real pleasure and honor to speak to you, and we hope to come visit you again next time and do a second follow-up episode with you.
Thank you.
And find out more about what's going on in your life.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers.
Yeah, thanks.